this Good Life family. I am so glad that there is story that we connect to, that there is a history, and it's an intentional history. It's what I believe is an intentional history of the heart of God. It's the story of intent on His behalf, and it's the story of intent on a lot of individuals' parts. I want to read just a section from Hebrews chapter 10, and this will come up on the screen. It's taken from the Message. But for me, this is the foundation to my life and to what I believe is God's call for my life. In Hebrews 10, and we read it this week, it says, "It was a perfect sacrifice," and I'm reading from the Message. "It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person, Jesus Christ, to perfect some very imperfect people, of which I was one, by that single offering. He did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process." Let me read that again. "By that single offering, by the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, He did everything that needed to be done for everyone who will take part in that gift, His purifying process for us." So friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God, walk right into the presence of God, into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of His sacrifice, acting as our priest before God, and that curtain into God's presence in His body. So let's do it. I love where Eugene Peterson sort of takes this emphasis here, and he goes, let's do it then. Let's not just stand around and talk about it. Let's not just theologize about it. Let's not just write doctrinal statements about it. Let's do it. Let's enter God's presence full of belief, confident that we are presentable, made presentable inside and out. And let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. For He always keeps His word. He always keeps His word. For me personally, I am so grateful that God delivered me. Again, this week, I've read that wall of God's faithfulness that we started some 2 weeks ago now. And again and again and again, I've come across statements of people saying, the Lord has been faithful to me in that He delivered me, in that He set me free, in that He gave me hope. It's not just the things, the physical, the material. It's that God took us and He saved us. When we were undeserving, unworthy, when there was nothing we could do to save ourselves, God stepped in. And I cannot be more grateful. I cannot be more thankful that God would intervene in my life and save me. And it's not just a personal thing. I'm glad that He saw fit to allow me to have a wife who loved me for who I was, who courageously was willing to walk into a journey of the unknown, that God allowed me to have children. But you know what? More than anything that has done for me, it has allowed me as a father, as a husband, to understand God's heart for people even more. God says that He loves, and He loves us like children, but He loves us like a bride. He loves us. He has given everything of Himself. The instructions in God's word to husbands reveal the heart of God. To love more than we love ourselves, to love for another's very best, to give ourselves on behalf of. To have a family, it expanded my heart. When I met Donna, I thought I couldn't love someone more. But the thing that happens that's incredible, and if you've ever had children, you'll understand it, but if you haven't had your own children, as you've grown in relationship with people, you will also understand it. Our hearts are continually expanded. There is no limit to the love of God. And what you discover in the situation like I was in, where I married Donna and I thought, man, I've reached capacity. I love like I've never loved before. And then when we were headed towards having a baby, I thought, man, I got to share that love now. Somehow that love sort of must have to get divvied up, and Donna gets a bit, and now this baby will get a bit. But this baby came, and I realized that, you know what happened? My heart was expanded. I loved Donna probably more than I ever have. And my first child, I loved as I'd never experienced before. And then we had another child. And my love didn't get divvied up into thirds. My heart expanded. And what I discover in God is that there is this incredible ability that His heart continues to expand. In, as I believe, even though He knows the beginning from the end, every child that is born, God's heart doesn't get less and less for each individual. He expands His love for every part of His creation. And when I was brought into this church family, I knew when I first stood in front of this congregation, back in the beginning of 2005. And many know my story, and I'm not going into all of it, but I stood here and God spoke to my heart. And He told me that I was going to love with His love a community that I had not yet known. And my heart expanded again. And every person that I meet and I sense God's heart for, my heart continues to expand. And the thing is that God's love is to be poured into us and out of us continually. I love where we have been. I love that God has a purpose in this place, that people will be loved. I love that God, in His expanding heart for people, and in this story of Good Life, has defined His call, has defined His vision, and He has refined it, and He'll continue to do it. God has been faithful. Up until this day, I know from the story that I heard from the foundation of this place to the call of God on my family to come and to be a part of this, to expand my heart, I know up until today that God has been faithful. And I am convinced that as He has been, so He will be. Another way to remind ourselves and declare praise is in responsive reading. That is, a part is read and then we respond with a declaration. It's found throughout the scriptures, and this morning you'll find on the screen here there's parts that are in blue that set a tone and also affirm the words that are read. And so every bit in blue there where it says all, that's yes, you're right. Everyone. So everyone, if you can read, it's there. If you can't read, it says this, I will praise your name forever, Lord. Let's practice that together. I will praise your name forever, Lord. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Generation after generation praises your works and proclaims your might. They speak of the splendor of your glorious majesty, and they tell of your wondrous works. They discourse of the power of your terrible deeds and declare your greatness. They publish the fame of your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your justice. For the Lord is gracious and he is merciful. He is slow to anger and of great kindness. And the Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all of his works. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. For I will praise your name forever, O Lord. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to reflect on reasons that we have for thankfulness. This week was a week that has been set aside for this whole calendar year, but each year we do a week of Thanksgiving. Tuesday night, we had a wonderful turnout at our AGM, which is far more than just a business meeting. It's a time of storytelling. It's a time of looking back over the things that God has done in the year. It's a time of gratitude to individuals. But above all, it's a time of just deep reflection and thankfulness, as we left that, for the things that God has allowed us to be a part of. I am always grateful for the story that has been. We are a people whose story is written in history. But we also are a people who only truly have the moment that we stand in. But as a people standing in the moment that we have, we are also a people who should be expectant and living by faith in a God who is continually working, whether we ever see the results or not. And so today we're going to take a moment in each of those sections. I am glad for the story thus far. I'm glad that God saw fit, number one, personally, to pursue me, to reach out to me. And I hope in this moment that you look back over your story and your first point of gratitude would be that God saw fit to pursue you and offer you restored life. I love from the readings this week, Hebrews chapter 10. It says, it was a perfect sacrifice. I'm reading from the Message version. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person, the Lord Jesus, to perfect some very imperfect people. By that single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who will take part in his purifying process. The single offering of Jesus Christ, the perfect person, did everything that needed to be done for everyone who would respond to him. So friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God, into his presence, into the holy place, for Jesus cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our high priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is the body of Jesus. I love this bit here. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's do it. Let's do what? Let's walk up to God expectantly into his presence. Let's engage with him. Let's not just theologize about it. Let's not just romanticize about it. Let's not just write doctrines and think lofty thoughts about it. Let's do it. Let's engage God for who he is, that he has opened the way that cannot be shut, that he has done everything that needed to be done for everyone who will respond to him. The only part that we have in it is responding. That's it. So let's do it. Full of belief. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. For he always keeps his word. History tells us this: God keeps his word. God began a purpose and God continues that purpose, and God will see that purpose through to completion. As an individual, as a follower of Jesus alongside so many of you, I am grateful for the love of God revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. That he did everything, that he allowed me to know him, and that he began a conforming work, conforming me to the likeness of Christ, making me less and less self-centered and more Christ-centered. Beyond myself, so much of the context of my life is my family. You have to know what the context of your personal life is, because it's not just about us as individuals. We're placed in context. For me, I'm so grateful that God gave me the wife that I have. I know that I would not be who I am without her. When I met my wife, my heart was expanded. I thought I knew how to love. I used the word love. I talked about loving people. And I met my wife and I married her, and my heart expanded. Its capacity to love, its understanding of love expanded. And then we had our first child. And I remember wrestling with this idea. We're going to have a child, and I've just got so much love for Donna, but I'm going to be really bummed when I have to half that love when someone else gets added into this. And I would think about it a lot. But I remember the morning that my first child was born. And I tell you what happened, my capacity to love expanded. I didn't halve anything.
It's like this whole new dimension opened up, and I didn't remove anything from loving my wife, but there was this whole new part to loving my daughter. You know what? Being a husband and a father has taught me a lot about our Heavenly Father's heart. He doesn't have a limited capacity to love. He has the most expansive capacity to love beyond what we can ever imagine. A love that He yearns over every person of this entire world. My second child was born. And I remember thinking then, oh man, is this the point that it like gets stretched? And I remember looking at the face of my son, and a whole new dimension opened up to me. And I love my wife, and I love my children, and I grow in that continually. But I remember the day that God called me to come and be a part of Good Life. I had served for a long time in leading within the context of a church community overseas. And it had grown and stretched me, and I had grown as a person. And I remember when the very first time I stood before this church family, and God birthed a dimension in me that was not there to that point. That as I stood in this very space, looking over the people that were here then, and there was only about 300 or so in one service at that point in time, I felt like God spoke to me and said, I will teach you to love these people because I'm calling you to pastor these people. And at that time, I wasn't even offered a job here. I was a guest speaker. And I did not pursue it. God had a specific call. But that is history. That is 8.5 years ago history. And I appreciate history, and I appreciate story. What the story tells me, and as I read the history of the Bible from creation through, is that God is faithful, and my confidence that I have today is because God has been faithful, and His ability to love and to call and to draw is limitless. He has shown it forever, and it's the confidence that I have in that which I have seen that will enable me to stand where I am and to walk into the future. We're going to divide each of these sections up with a reflection and a declaration. And so as we stand together, I pray that what I have said there will enable you to reflect and engage in the story thus far for you. Up until this moment, God has been faithful.
I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians. You can take a seat if you like, but let these be our words as you hear me read. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And it is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus, and present us with you in his presence. All this for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal.
Thanks, Lauren. I love what's written there. Paul, who writes that, recognizes that it began with God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." It began with a declaration into a space that was void, that was formless. "Let light shine out of darkness." And then God went along the way and allowed light to shine in the darkness of the moments of people's lives. But not just for the sake of that, but also because there is an eternal glory that Paul says there outweighs everything that we experience. And for that reason, we don't just focus on the moments that we are in, but we look ahead expectantly. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. I am very glad for where our story has us today. Me as an individual, I'm so glad that walking in the knowledge of the faithfulness of God has me where I am today, has shaped me the way He has shaped me. Never forget the story. Never forget the history. 2 weeks ago, Dan Geddes shared a message with us from 2 Peter, but then also from the book of Joshua, where Peter says, "If there's one thing I can do before I depart this life, before I leave this body, it is this: make sure that you are anchored and make sure that you remember." Joshua told the people of Israel, "Pile up rocks. Remember the things. And when your children pass by this, declare to them the things that God has done, so that we will not forget." We realize we as human beings easily forget. We move on very quickly. And often the weights of the moments we find ourselves in seem to outweigh the confidence we have in the God who's written our story to this point.
Never forget the past and always be expectant for the future. But realize right now is the moment that you have. We're not guaranteed of anything. We're not guaranteed of tomorrow. We hope for tomorrow, but we're not guaranteed of it. We must live in what is at hand. We must love in the moments that we are in. We must invite God to engage with us and through us in the moments that we are in. I'm glad personally that God says that He will equip me for what is at hand. He says, "My mercies are new every morning for the day that is at hand." That His grace is sufficient for my needs that are at hand. That He will give me the provision that I need for the day that is at hand. In Matthew chapter 6, we're told, don't be worried, don't be worrying, don't be fearful about tomorrow, because today has enough concern of its own. Live in the day that is at hand. Do what is in our hand today to do. We're told just don't make these plans saying tomorrow I'll go here and do and be such and such. For when we do, we must also add to that, should the Lord be willing. We don't know. I'm glad for the story of Good Life so far. I'm glad for the story that is in my family thus far. But in my family, I'll tell you what I'm glad for today. I'm glad that my marriage is good today. My hope is it'll be good tomorrow. My hope is that it'll be good beyond that. But I'm glad for my marriage today. And what I must choose to do is invest myself in my marriage today. My children, I'm glad for their story. I'm glad they grew up in our home. I'm glad they were raised in our context of faith. But I know what I'm glad for today. I'm glad that today my daughter has a faith that is her own faith. And I'm glad that my son has a faith that is his own faith. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. My hope is that they take hold of their faith and hold fast to their faith and remain secured in their faith. But I'm grateful for today. And Good Life, I'm thrilled for our story to this point. I'm thrilled for the stories that have brought the number of us together, that in the last years we've gone from a service with about 300 to three services on a Sunday with somewhere around 1,200 over the three. God continues to write His story in our midst, but I'll tell you what I am glad for today. The stories I know. Those of us who are here. Those of us walking with one another, doing life together. I'm thrilled for the community that are here. The story that we have was a dream. What we have now is somewhere around 5,000 a week coming through this facility. One story of which happened Thursday afternoon here. Kids just came to skate and came back to the counter and said, the skate park's locked. I said, oh, that's unusual. Usually it's open. Here, let me grab a key and I'll come out and open that for you. And I walk out there and it's open. So I don't know where that happened, but I figure maybe God had something He was doing. So I'm standing there with this key and the mum just said to me, I love this place. What do you do here? Are you the groundskeeper? I said, well, right now I am. She said, we came here about 7 years ago because Kinder Music was here. And we came to Kinder Music and then found out that there were swim lessons here. And now all my kids have been through Kinder Music and all gone through swim lessons, and now one of them comes to Jimbaroo there. We're standing there watching these kids skating. She said, everyone who is around here seems to have purpose. I said, well, I think we do. But ultimately, it's bigger than this. And I got to go from that conversation into the other things I do, which includes often speaking on a Sunday morning to a cross-section of our greater Good Life community who are pursuing faith in God, in Jesus. And I get to speak, and she's like, you do that? I'm like, yeah, I do that too. She said, we're going to come to that. 7 years ago, someone came for music, journeyed into swimming, journeyed into cafe and skate parking as kids grew older. But I believe the whole time God has just been patiently drawing someone's heart towards the exploration of faith. And that story is told again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And it's not done yet. What I love now is the God of every moment. I expect more. And I'm grateful for the story. But I am looking forward to those stories that are going to be written today. Maybe on your heart here. Maybe you've come here not really knowing why you were here. You didn't know this was our Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe you're not here to be a part of any offering or any future plans. I don't mind. Is this a moment right now that God's going, you're here for this moment. You're here to understand that I have relentlessly pursued you. That I have loved you and my heart has been expanded toward you for a long, long, long time. And now's your moment to respond to me. Maybe you're not here about future plans. Maybe you are here because God brought you here to just tell you, I love you. And in my Son, Jesus Christ, I did everything that would ever need to be done that you and I can have restored relationship. And maybe all God's asking of you right now is that you respond to His love and His grace and receive it. Stop considering yourself unworthy. Stop considering yourself unacceptable. Stop considering yourself as too sinful, too far gone, too broken. Long before you ever failed in one single thing, God said, I've provided everything that you need for right relationship with me in my Son, Jesus Christ. If you will accept it, your sins are forgiven. If you will accept it, I have a place for you with me as my son or as my daughter. If you will accept it, I have forgiveness that far outweighs any offense you've ever made against me. If you will accept it. Maybe your moment is the right here, right now. Accept it. And if that's you, I offer you to pray something like this. God, I'm trusting right now that it is you who has pursued me. that it is you who has loved me, that it's you who is willing to forgive me. And in this moment, I ask for your forgiveness. And in this moment, I ask for your healing. And in this moment, I ask for your restoration. God, I give my life back to you, to your keeping, trusting in your forgiveness, in your goodness. And I receive your free gift of love and of forgiveness and of hope and of a purpose. And now, God, I surrender my future into your hands. And I thank you. Amen. Maybe that's your moment. Maybe that's what you're here for. In fact, I know it is for someone here. I didn't speak that in first service. I just sense in my heart that there is at least one here that you need to know that and you need to respond to that. And if that's all we see today, I'm wrapped. God is a God of the every moment of every day. Craig, I'm going to ask that you'd come. May we stand together and just sing one song here. For some of you, this will be a whole brand new experience. Standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down. For others, they're like, huh, I used to do this in our church. It's not about tradition. It's about expression of our hearts, of our minds, of our mouths. And sometimes it's good to just change position every now and then, but let's sing.
You can take your seats. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21 in the Message. Someone out of the crowd said, "Teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance." He replied, "Mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to judge or mediate for you?" Speaking to the people, he went on to say, "Take care. Protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot." Then he told them this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." Then he said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done well. You've got it made and can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.' Just then God showed up and said, 'Fool, tonight you die. And your barn full of goods, who gets it?' That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God."
Thanks, Vicky. I love the way that Eugene finishes that story that to many of us may be familiar. He says, that's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. When we get stuck with our eyes on ourselves, we often get stuck in the now. And we don't see much further beyond that. Or if we get stuck in self, we lose sight of God's kingdom that is an eternal kingdom. And I'm glad that God hasn't finished yet. I want to read just a little bit from Hebrews chapter 11. We've just been reading that. We're told this: faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of the things that we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, and that what we see was not made out of the visible. God formed this, and after that brought forth life. And Hebrews 11 has this wonderful lineage of those who lived that life by faith, who took a hold of God as a God of promise and a God of purpose. You come to verse 13 and it talks about those who have been mentioned to that point, and it's talking about Abraham and, about Enoch and Noah. It says these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them, but they welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. They're not attached to the here and now. If they'd been thinking of the here and now or even the country that they'd left, that they'd come from, they would have the opportunity to return if they were still connected. But instead, they were longing for that which was ahead, for a better place, for a heavenly one, for a promised one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has gone ahead of them to prepare a city for them. You continue to read through that lineage, and it talks about all these great things that happened. But then it says that others, some were tortured in the midst of their faith. Some were refused to be released so that they'd have a better resurrection. Some faced jeering and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, sawed in two, killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And you look at that and you go, I'm sure none of those people sort of prayed for that stuff by faith. I'm sure none of them were believing God, one day I'm going to be sawed in two. You know, God, one day I'm going to be martyred. God, one day. No. It's this absolute confidence in God in the midst of the whatever. As I said before, we have the history that declares God's faithfulness. We have the here and now that we're in the midst of. But by faith, we take a hold of and look ahead to the future, whatever lies between. We don't know. But are we invested in the here and now? Or in the whatever lies ahead? And invested, I mean every part of our lives. Verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better, that only together with us would we be made perfect. You know, the story of our own lives, I have hopes for the future. I have dreams tucked away in me. Got dreams tucked away for my relationship with my wife. I got dreams and hopes for my kids. Where I can, I invest in those hopes and dreams. I have hopes and dreams for good life. I don't know if I'll ever walk in the fullness of them or the fruition of them. I don't know. There were those that went ahead of me that had hopes and dreams for good life. And this year, we've had people who are founding participants in this journey who died, who did not see the fulfillment, the end of all of those dreams. But they were deeply invested in every part of who they were. And this is what faith allows us to do. It's to engage, not that I get, but that the kingdom and the work of God continues. That's the entire purpose of our participation with God, is that we see His kingdom continue to expand. I tell you this, I'm glad that God's not finished yet. I'd be bummed if this was all it was. There's so many more people around us to be engaged with, connected with, loved, served, provided for, led to the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, to the love and to the grace of God. And we've been called to engage in a unique manner. A unique manner. We engage through sports and recreation, and that's just a tool that offers a hand of relationship. We engage over good coffee and good food made by love, made with love by a great team. We have a swim school here that serve people. We have a staff that pray with people. We have a team that work in the benevolence and giving of resource to people. We have all sorts of things that happen here in a unique call. And what all of us have to weigh up, honestly and earnestly, is this the call that He has called you to? The kingdom of God is never about just attending. The kingdom of God is always a kingdom purpose of participation. Jesus always invited us to participate with Him in His kingdom work. And I say this lovingly, but if you are not interested in the participation, in the vision of good life, find where your heart can participate and give yourself wholeheartedly to it, that the kingdom of God will go forward. The kingdom of God is an ever-expanding kingdom, and we are to take hold of it. I look forward to the future. We do have desire to build further. This facility is in some areas completely outgrown, and it seems to be an area that God has continued to give us increase in. If you've been around, you've heard the story. You know what the goals are, and it's to build further. And this year's Thanksgiving offering is the entry into that. But what's in it for you? I don't know. All I can invite you to is participating in the kingdom of God. There's no promise attached. The only promise I have is that God knows your heart, and He is the one who says that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, who earnestly seek to engage with Him. Shackleton, printed in a newspaper before his famous expedition, put this: men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. And thus began one of the greatest expeditions that the world had known to that point in time. But who had to engage? Willing people, willing men who were willing to walk into mystery with the promise of trial, of testing, but hope, no guarantee. So what do I offer you today? Hope. First, by the story thus far, we serve a God who is unchanging, who called light out of darkness, who called people out of darkness into His marvelous light, who began a good work in you that will be seen through to completion. Our story today is that God is still working in individuals' lives, still calling people to Himself, still transforming people. And that hope in that knowledge of God is that that's never going to stop until the day that God says enough. Until then, we are called to be faithful participants of the call that He has given us. And so today, as a part of this, and I mean this wholeheartedly, there is no manipulation, there is simply invitation. If we want to participate, there are papers that are here that will make a declaration of our intent. If you want to participate in the future building on this property, there's papers that you can indicate what your participation is. And the beginning line says this: trusting that God has led me and will enable me, my commitment is to. And you can put whatever you want there. To give, to pray, to serve, to participate, whatever. Steve Moore spoke to me this week, or actually last weekend, and said, you know, God is dealing with my heart. I know what it is to give and to pledge and all those things, been down that road. But I know what God is speaking to me in this season. There's been a call to His heart for obedience to baptism for some time. And it's a very real sense that God says, before I even talk to you about finances or a participation, I want your surrender. And after this service, we're going out to the pool, those who want to stand with Steve, and we're going to answer that call to His surrender in baptism. So I'm not just saying we want your money. I believe the call of God is He wants your life. And then you will make the decision how you will respond and participate. Yes, I want to see the finances and the participation in us to continue to move ahead and serve our community like we haven't had the scope to do so before. But if you want to, as we close with a couple of songs, come and take one of these. Sit for a moment. Think about it. Many have come knowing what they would do. Many have come with a cash offering or a check or a commitment form already. And you can deposit those. There's four boxes across the front. You can write intent and then your address and name and email, and we'll contact you about how you want to go about that. Or you can take one of the giving envelopes and you can fill that out. But this is an opportunity for us, truly, and I invite you, a declaration of thanksgiving for what God has done, for where we are right now, but an expectant thanksgiving of where we will yet go, for the glory of God and for the love of people, for the glory of God and for the love of people. So let's stand together. God is a God of the past, the present, and the future. And so, Father, we come to You. And we just offer ourselves to You. God, as we read in the beginning, in David's declaration, it was an opening of hearts and an opening of mouths in declaration and in praise. But it was an opening of hands where, Lord, You become Lord of everything. And Lord, You know what You have uniquely called us to and uniquely equipped us for. God, I love that You never call for equal amount, but You always call for equal heart. And that's total surrender to You. And so, God, we just offer ourselves to You. We say thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for the moment that is at hand. And we respond to You in it, in the here and the now. But God, we set our eyes upon You, the author and the finisher of our faith. and we look expectantly to all that lies ahead. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our God is greater beyond our understanding, greater than our wildest imaginations. And I realize when it comes to giving and stuff, I'm not real good at calling that stuff out. I want us to be captivated by the kingdom. I was supposed to show a video and I forgot the video. I was supposed to give you details on giving and I forgot to do that. So I'll tell you quickly. Within the next 3 weeks, we hope to be approved through the Australian Sports Foundation for tax-deductible giving. So if that is something that you would weigh up and decide that you would rather give that way, we'll announce that when it's available, but we're not tax deductible as a charity, but we will have that approved through the Sports Foundation within 3 weeks. So the way we're going to handle this is those that wrote out forms, someone to do direct debit, etc., and we'll write a letter and give you details on all of that. It's all important, and I apologize that I missed doing that, but when I get talking about the kingdom and life change, that's what moves me. That's, to me, the bottom line. We don't, when we stand before God, get measured in dollar signs. And the fields are white under harvest. And it says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. I want to see the harvest brought in. And if we do it through expanding our facilities, that's what I want to see. So may we be moved of one heart and one mind and continue to move ahead. That video will be shown over the next couple of weeks anyway, so you'll have to come back to see it. I'm not going to change the mood and just switch it on and play it because I was supposed to. I'm grateful for those who gave hours and hours and hours to make it. I don't want to act like that doesn't matter. It matters a great deal. And I'm grateful. We're going to play that over the next couple of weeks and just continue to invite people to participate. I want to close and read together. Psalm 28, verses 7 through 9. Let's read it. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed ones. Save your people, bless your inheritance, be their shepherd, and carry them forever. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and all that you will yet do. And God, we just surrender our hearts to you. And I pray, God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, pursuer and restorer of humanity, the giver of life, God, would you bless us and keep us? God, would you make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. God, grant us your wisdom, your counsel, and may we know your countenance lifted upon us. And give us your peace in this day and as we walk towards the future to the glory of your name. Amen and amen.